Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back, and it is now or never. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to help you get engaged today. So, bottom line, the election, or I should say, the campaign for the next general election starts today. But before I get into all of that, happy birthday for those who are recovering from your Marine Corps birthday. I think it's always been a bragging point that Marines, because they know how to celebrate their birthday properly, the nation felt to give them a holiday afterwards so that they wouldn't have to go to work in so much pain. We'll just put it that way. So anyway, it is now or never, and that debt is fraud. And use your faith and the spiritual tools that your faith gives you to seek his support in reclaiming the Republic. That's kind of my three obligatories. So it is hard. It's almost, I can't shake the conversation, because every one of us lives and functions and operates in this paradigm that is, I'll just say, baked biases within ourselves. As a matter of fact, I know that when I'm on the phone, or when I'm talking to anybody, or even on the show, I try not to be biased. I try to be objective. But we all reach a point where when we hear something, we know exactly what is happening. Where we hear somebody start talking about their feelings, and it's about them. Or we come to these quick conclusions when we're engaged in conversations. And so the older you get, I learned this a long, long time ago. The older you get, the more rules you've created, or you call them biases, that you create because you've dealt with that so many times. You say, I'm not going to let that bite me again. Somebody wants to talk about their feelings, I'm not going to go there. Or somebody wants to, bait me over some issue, I'm not going to go there. So in other words, as we deal with young patriots, they're not coming in, especially if you're looking at people that are joining the movement at age 20 or 30, they've created a level of biases for themselves, because it's all based on the lack of information. And so their biases are based on poor or bad information. And it's hard for them to even realize how little they know, right? I mean, the common rule of thumb is that as a child starts to break away from their parents, this is the point when they believe they know everything. And it takes probably 10, 15, 20 years before they start realizing how little they know. And it's a common conversation between parents and their children, usually when their children turns 40 or so, 30-something, where the child usually, because I had that conversation with my folks, how sorry I was and for what I put them through. I mean, I don't know if everybody has, been that forward and honest, but I thought it was very important to, show my love and appreciation for their patience with me. And this actually kind of speaks to our Heavenly Father, right? But anyway, as we deal with people and their biases, it's almost like a guaranteed wall you have to break through. In other words, you actually have to go through the steps every time to get people to break through their wall. And some of those walls are, created because of misinformation, and others are created because of, I can't say that's not the same. And maybe with the younger generation, because I haven't had a lot of dealings with, because there just seems to be this levee, this barrier for 20, 30, 40-year-olds to turn towards, the Constitution and understanding that. They gravitate towards conservatism, and they want conservative control and the Republican, and they get involved in the politics and so forth, and it takes them even longer to realize that even that doesn't work. It takes a while to realize how many different things are not going to solve our problem until we realize that we actually have to do this. And this is why the campaign, the public relation campaign against your public servants, all of the slack jaws, all of those without scruples, all of those who do not care about supporting the Constitution, your PR campaign starts today. You need to start getting petitions signed. You need to start driving the petitions. We have a whole bunch of petitions for you, and they all are solid petitions that can't be refuted. And one of the things we want to make sure, because we've kind of bolstered up these petitions to ensure that these petitions are not dismissed because the lawyer says so. As a matter of fact, if the lawyer tells them that if they want to take advice from a lawyer, from your county commissioners, then they will, because they're no longer representing us. They are our representatives, and we're petitioning them, and we want to have this dialogue with them. They go to the lawyer to protect them. It's it's almost like going to Wormtongue. What do I do, Wormtongue? What do we do? And Wormtongue will say, just ignore that. You don't have to do anything. And if they listen to that, then we need to make them pay. Because as our representatives, we have a right to petition them for the redress of grievances. And if they fail, to get engaged, and they fail to actually say, well, we don't see this. And 9 times out of 10, they don't even read it. They just hand, because, oh, well, it's so difficult to read, because it's talking about the Constitution, and we don't know anything about the Constitution. Another indictment. Every time you actually start engaging these conversations, these are the conversations that should have happened before they got elected. Do you understand the Constitution? Do you understand you're going to have to take an oath to support that? Do you know we're going to hold you accountable? Those are the conversations we should have had a while ago. But now it starts. If you want to break the cycle, it has to begin today. Martin Luther, it took him 10 years. I am telling you, it only takes us in this nation 4 years, an election cycle. We can do this in one election cycle because we have the midterm to actually prove that we can actually start undoing people that have a 2-year election coming up, because we're going to go after them, and we're going to go after them viciously. Why? Because if they are not supporting the Constitution, then they have no business being in office. They have no business being our representatives, because they're not giving us the suffrage that they're supposed to be giving us. Now, we're the problem. There's no doubt in my mind that when we're asking them to do something that violates the Constitution, then we're the problem. This is why we have to back off, quit asking for food, quit asking for money, quit asking for government to give you something that they have no authority to give you, a clean environment. That is not there. Now, if you want to amend the Constitution, that's fine, but be very careful what we do. And as a matter of fact, what we need to do is we need to be very careful before we really start amending state constitutions. You better start creating your county constitution. This is why we demand, and this is why we need to start now in getting those county commissioners to realize, because there's going to be enough good ones. There'll be enough good ones to actually start creating these committees. There's no doubt in my mind we should have at least one county in every state, except for maybe Rhode Island, except for Delaware, except for some of these, dark blue bastions of communism. There's just a few states out there. But, we can restore this republic by the heartland. When you realize it, everybody looks at that map. It speaks and reeks of how the heartland has the ability to save America. Well, except for New Mexico. You know, when we look at the flyover states, isn't it amazing that the flyover states can actually fix America? They have the power, because within this republic, every state has equal suffrage. They have equal representation and equal say. One state, it doesn't matter how much representation you have. What matters is, because when it comes to changing the Constitution or making something constitutional, that requires 3/4 of the states, not a basic a democratic threshold like 50% or 60% in the Senate or 50% in the House. As a matter of fact, the only thing that they truly have 50% thresholds on are those things that are pursuant to the Constitution. This is why I tell you that there's no such thing as party politics or politics, period, on anything that's not enumerated. The only time they can play their little dance of politics and compromise are only over those enumerated objects. Roles, responsibilities are not something that they have the ability to compromise. Those are standards. Those are hardcore requirement roles. They have to do that. Congress has to admit new states into the union. And they have to admit them with equal standing. They only have the power to create needful rules and regulations while that state is preparing to come into the union. And then all those rules and regulations are obliterated once that state becomes a state. That state becomes a full sovereign entity, like Russia, like China. That's correct, folks. That little state called Rhode Island is equal in stature and authority in the world governing bodies as Russia. And so when we, this republic of nations, joined the UN to subjugate, that is absolutely the most egregious violation of the Constitution one can think of in the world stage of politics. So getting back to really what I wanted to talk about, because I have this frustration when I'm dealing with the religious right, because the religious right want to actually make this movement about Christ and Christ's government. I am here to support Christ's government when Christ comes to set it up. But Christ is not, it is not in the plan of the Bible to save nations. It is in the plan of the Bible that nations will go to war, there'll be rumors of war, until he comes and reigns. So if we want to talk about that when he comes, then let's have that conversation. But at this point in time, there is no doubt in my mind, the brilliance of the framers recognize the trouble and the problems of allowing theocracies to divide a nation. And so one of the reasons why the federal government was framed, that it could not establish a religion, so that it could not dictate and actually create a national theocracy. All states in the Union actually had their own theocracies. And even at that point in time, as they started, you know, growing as a state, right, wrong, or indifferent, for some of the right reasons, they started shedding that theocracy. Because they wanted to start, I mean, if you look at Madison, and people criticize Madison for his remonstrance on religion. And that's one of the documents we haven't gone through, so that's one of the documents we're going to go through. The document of paragraph, or the paragraph, or I should say the essay on property. It's a few paragraphs. We're going to go through the essay on property. We're going to go through his remonstrance. And then we're going to jump in time, and we're going to dive into the Organic Act, and we're going to dive into that treaty, because that's going to take some time, and we need to get through that, because we only cover content on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, unless I can get Tammy to, you know, maybe do 4 shows a week so that we could actually do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But I like doing content. Instead of me just reading it to you and trying to figure out what you might be thinking, I think when somebody looks at things with fresh eyes and they're going through it and they go, huh, wow, does it really say that? Yes, it actually says that. And so I gloss over things. And so I know I create problems because I don't say things, or I say things in ways that, you know, may not reach everybody. But what you need to know by now, you should already know. I can blame you for not listening to the show all the time because I'm not entertaining, because I'm not talking about what you want to hear. The reality is this, folks. Either you fill your sandbags and you understand the content, you understand these essential documents and how they fit in the foundation of this Constitution and this government, or not. Because the sooner you understand some of these critical documents, which is why the first thing we're going to cover are the five critical documents, the resolutions, and what we have to do, because that right there tells you what we have to do at the county level, state level, and the federal level. So you can see the bigger picture immediately. This way you can start getting organized. So we're going to go through this. If you miss an episode, if you're not listening to this show, because by the way, you know, I do not do commercials. I don't do endorsements. I don't do paid endorsements. Let me just say this too. And I want to kind of lay this out there. I used to endorse a few different people or, you know, their products because they were patriot organizations. These were good people. And as a matter of fact, one organization, because you used to hear me talk about Timber Nation. Timber Nation is a cabinet, audio cabinet. They do desks. They do all sorts of things. And they are very patriotic, and they're not liberal. They're in Pennsylvania. And when I started advertising, or I actually started promoting, I do not get paid a penny. If you want to go and reach out to Stan Kluwet, you want to reach out for your desk covers. I think it was desk covers, radio desk covers. I have to pull up all these different things I used to support or give you, you know, hey, go do this. Go buy something from Timber Nation. I never got paid anything for those. And most people, when they hear me, you know, promoting, well, he's got to be getting money for that. And no, I don't. I don't even ask them for discounts. They charge me whatever their prices are, whatever it's on the website, or if it's something custom, I say, what's it going to cost for me to get this, for you to build this? And at this point in time, they don't have the latitude because they have been suffering from Timber Nation. What ended up happening? Let me give you the slow down and give you the story. So a few years ago, when I started plugging Timber Nation, because there's a lot of liberals in the area, and I was plugging Timber Nation, and their business was going crazy. They were doing really well. They got hit by arson. Somebody burned them down. In other words, some liberal radical went in there and destroyed that business. And so it took them 3 months to rebuild completely, and it actually took them 6 months to even get up to I think 50% of their productivity. They had something like 40-some-odd orders, and every person that had an order with them did not pull their order. So one of the reasons why they were able to save their business is because their customers supported them. Now, 9 times out of 10, when you go and buy a Bible, you don't need to buy a second, third, fourth, and fifth Bible. You may buy a Bible for somebody else, but 9 times out of 10, when you're buying an audio rack, you're not, or a coffee table or a desk or what have you, you know, you don't buy one for every room unless you've got lots of audio needs. So If you're stuck with an audio bug, like there are people that have audio, you know, setups in multiple rooms of their home theaters and so forth. But nevertheless, these guys almost were destitute. But at that point in time, shortly after the fire, I was promoting them. Shortly after that, I stopped doing and running anything on my show. In other words, I stopped doing the 4 or 5 promos that I would cycle through on a weekly basis for Constitution Club, the Timber Nation, Radio Dust Covers. There was a couple of other ones. And it doesn't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to get back into doing that. But I do want to say this because I had a conversation with Timber Nation, and they really need your support. One of the things that they told me is if you want to get something for Christmas, they actually have room in their schedule right now. In other words, that's how I'll just say that's how, you know, when you look at a business that only has orders out for 3 to 4 weeks, and, you know, they're keeping themselves busy, but they're teetering, folks. And these are good people. They're employing people in, you know, in Pennsylvania. And we need to actually bolster companies that do that. There's no doubt that when you have a company that's successful, these guys are able to actually help bolster one, the community, as well as, let's just say, the politics of your community. So if you go to TimberNation.com, I believe it's TimberNation.com, just look up TimberNation, go look at their stuff. If you're looking for handmade solid walnut, solid oak, solid maple, and some of that maple stuff with the tiger stripes, go look at that stuff. That is quality, handmade stuff. You go down to the high-end furniture store where you're going to pay $5,000 to $10,000 for some special name brand audio rack, and you look at what you pay from Timber Nation, you will be absolutely shocked and floored. And you'll actually start, you know, asking them to do beds and all sorts of things for you, because they give you an honest product for an honest dollar. Yes, in America, you can still find small businesses that do this. It's either crap that you buy at Walmart, or you go to the big high-end stores or what have you. And those, and they're all in these chains of distribution where everybody has got their hand in your pocket. Buy direct. So the reasons why this is so cheap, and actually, they ship everything. Now, a lot of the stuff that you get will be RTA, ready to assemble. And it's not that difficult to put this stuff together. If you're looking for something and you want to have something for Christmas or what have you, for a family present or for yourself, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, go get your loved one to say, I would really like this. As a matter of fact, they've made my broadcasting desk. They've made an audio system that we have up in the living room. They've made other cabinets and so forth. They've done some things for me. They made a soffit for our air conditioner. So, folks, by all means, it's not going to put a penny in my pocket, but what you're going to be doing is you're going to help lift the economy, at least in their area. And if you've got a small business or what have you that is patriotic and so forth, providing a good quality product, I want to hear about it, because I'd like to actually have, you know, a place. What, you know, this calls for, you know, a networking of people to say, here are the patriot organizations, so that you can actually buy stuff from people that are trying to lift America back up. Because I'm telling you, Nike and these big corporations, they're doing everything they can to extract the last of the marrow out of our backbone and literally destroy us. Because the corporations are the kings, princesses, and princes of the world. That is our new monarchy. And the king of all of them, we get into the banks and where the repository of money and holdings really are. And so we do have this hierarchy, this royalty. We have a caste system again. And we have to break all of this stuff down. And, you know, global corporations may seem like a great thing, but they're not, especially when governments allow them to actually subjugate you and make you a slave and actually start dictating to you what you can do and what you can't do. We need government to actually protect us from corporations, and they're not doing that. And when I say government, that's your state government, not the federal government. And that should be your county government as well. Because why would your county allow a corporation to come and operate in your county and poison you, poison your drinking water, poison your air, what have you? All they're doing is they're moving in to kill you. So again, before we dive into the break, TimberNation.com. Go take a look. If you want to get a special order, something special ordered by Christmas, they can make it happen. Just tell them I sent you, and by all means, you know, I don't get a penny for this. This is actually helping them. We'll be right back after this next promo.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me get back to, now that I've plugged Timber Nation. It was kind of disheartening to find out, because it wasn't just the fire. They also had, as they were rebuilding themselves, because they were doing most all of the rebuilding themselves. they've had accidents or problems and so forth. And the fact that they've used grit and, I'll just say resolve to get back and be able to provide a product. And so go check them out, folks. Go check them out. Let me get back to this discussion with religious right. I'm not here to tell anybody how to do their messaging, but I have been saying that if you want to win on the Constitution, if you want to get constitutional compliance, we have to step away from the morality argument. Case in point, the people that were arguing going into the abortion movement, because when we look at the 50s and the 60s and we, started moving into this new liberation of liberty, individual sovereignty, it actually went from this, this moral issue into, should a person be able to do something to themselves? Now, it's one thing for a state to actually create its own laws or a county to say, we're not going to allow abortion to be in our county because we believe, and enough of the people in that county, when we talk about enough, when we talk about the federal constitution, it takes 3/4 of the states to actually say, we want abortion, to make that a constitutional, and I'd say woe unto us if we did that, because now it gives the government the ability to take lives. We don't want that. What we really want is kind of a situation like what Christ did. When Christ was dealing with the adulteress, did he tell her to, that she go get killed, be stoned? Did he lead in that way, or did he give her the ability to go and change her life? In other words, he didn't tell her that we're going to kill you and take you from being able to sin anymore. That was the new covenant, this opportunity of repentance. It didn't mean that she couldn't go and be an adulteress again, but she was humbled and she actually became a servant of him because she went and sinned no more. She repented, and that's what we should be seeking people to do, is to repent. And giving them the ability. So this goes back to this whole scale of liberty. Individual liberty, individual responsibility, individual accountability are symbiotic when it comes to liberty. We have to hold ourselves accountable. We have to hold ourselves responsible. And we actually have to go down this path of, making sure that, if we created a problem, that we've resolved that to its end, right? If we've committed adultery, whatever. Bottom line, that is liberty. When we actually start creating laws that inhibit people's behavior, then I don't think we're making laws in the name of liberty. I believe that the problem is if we have a society that wants to abort fetuses, if we have a society that wants to legalize alcohol, drugs, and things that are harmful, then we have an education problem. We have a morality problem at the core level. You know, and so we all have to give something up in the name of enlightenment. Because enlightenment, an enlightened society is a disciplined society. Self-disciplined, not disciplined because of laws. Now, Alexis de Tocqueville, because America in its fundamental stage of enlightenment as it was evolving into the Constitution, America, as Alexis de Tocqueville basically labeled America as great because it was good. In other words, we didn't have government creating laws. We allowed ourselves to be governed by God's law and the churches. And the churches were the ones that actually cast out the punishment, you know, the scarlet letter, what have you. And I know that people today, there's actually a book on the scarlet letter. And what they do is they give you, you know, this evil perception of a society that does that. When you call upon somebody in repentance, if it's not done in love, then, and you try to create a mechanism. I mean, I used to advocate, and every once in a while I'll say it, I used to advocate tattooing a person with their crime on their face. So that if you actually committed, if you took a life, you killed somebody, then there would be a tattoo on your face that would clear. But the problem is people tattoo their faces to a point where you could actually cover that up now. I mean, we've become accepting of a tattooed society and ear piercings and so forth. And in other words, we've lost our morality and our discipline of those types of things when we allow, and it's liberty, allowing people to do those things. But it's obviously people are choosing to do those things that make them feel good instead of choosing to be disciplined and, you know, living for what's best for themselves as well as society. So I'm not here to judge, and I'm not here to try to create the laws. I'm here to tell you that we have to win the argument on liberty, because I just told you in a previous show in the last week or two about how we no longer have a majority of Christians who understand the Bible. I mean, it is a significant minority. When you look at the Pew Research, and Pew Research says we have over 50% Christians, people that identify as Christians. Out of that, you go to a smaller subset of people that identify as Christians that attend on a semi-regular basis, a smaller group that attends on a regular basis, and a smaller group that basically says that they read and they pray daily and they do things on it. I mean, that's a very small subset. So those people that are within that subset realize that this is a problem and we need to get everybody into this subset. You can't get there from here. What we can do is what we can actually start doing is we have to get back to the free market principles of our economics, the free market principles of religion, instead of actually, you know, going into our little think tanks and our little comfort zones and into our rooms, you know. And this is what I want to do on the Constitution, but I the charge is for people of religion to actually sit down, because it's easy to criticize everybody. It's easy to create dogma, but it's difficult. The hard thing to do is put aside your differences and actually learn and actually be receptive to all the other faiths, to where you can, you know, find, okay, I can understand why somebody's of that faith. But if you can't, and you look at all Catholics as, you know, because all Catholics aren't the Pope. All Catholics aren't the Archdiocese. All Catholics are, you know, it's just like party members. All Democrats are evil. They've submitted to Satan. No, A lot of Democrats are just union members or family members. I know a woman in this movement in Georgia who has actually become part of Reclaiming the Republic. And she was a diehard voting Democrat into her 60s. And then she realized with Biden, when Biden took office after Trump, she actually voted for Biden. But when Biden took office and the things that he started doing, she finally put it together. And, some of these stereotypes that she thought were, so true, she didn't realize that actually it wasn't true. One of the things that she thought was big business was always buying and in the Republican pockets. No. Big business was actually when we're talking about big, global, large companies, those guys were actually in the progressive camp. And they wanted to make sure whether it was the progressive Republicans or the progressive Democrats. It didn't matter. They wanted to gain more control and take away the free market system and create a mercantile system, giving them advantages. And that's exactly how we went from the 1800s, when they started getting involved in corporations, to this point that we have now have these so many global corporations with U.S. names. And they are kings because of government. They got there because of government. So we have to stop having this discussion. When we have a discussion, we need to make the discussion on the law instead of morality. Case in point, back to abortion. Abortion is not enumerated in the Constitution, state or federal, unless it is you happen to be living in one of the two states that I've passed, or actually some of them are passing abortion laws. But bottom line, that abortion amendment is problematic, because when you actually integrate abortion into your state constitution, you need to actually go through and change. So in other words, one of the things we do is we just throw a line in that abortion's legal. But what that does is it creates a conflict. Because legalizing abortion actually creates a conflict with providing health care for everybody. So in other words, you actually have to scrub your constitution to do a legitimate amendment. And nobody does that. When we look at the 11th Amendment, when we look at the 12th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, we've even shown you these past month, when we dove into the 11th and 12th. Actually, the past couple of months, because what we did was we showed you how it changed different parts and how it is essential to ensure that you cover all of your bases so you do not create a conflict like the 16th and the 17th Amendment, which we're going to be showing you this week. We're going to dive into the 16th and 17th Amendment, and actually, I think we may have already done that. But we're going to recap on this, because the 16th and 17th Amendment creates conflicts. I've said it several times. We're going to recap on it. And then we're going to dive into the Prohibition Amendment, of what it did. And when we peeled that back, what they did in the peeling of it back. And we're going to point out what government ended up doing under that amendment and under the repeal of Prohibition. We're going to show you how government tried to do a sleight of hand, but the language wasn't there to what they were doing. And so as they repealed, it was to be repealed, but the language changed a little bit to use the things that they never had the authority to do. In other words, there was never a granting of the authority for the ATF. There was never a granting of the authority for the IRS. There was never a granting of the authority for the FBI. They just created them to say, that's how we're going to enforce that. And that language does not exist. But we're going to go through that. And when you start comparing, or you start arguing your point against an issue, whether it be healthcare, whether it be abortion, whether it be vaccinations, it doesn't matter. If you're making your argument on a morality plane, you will lose every time, because there is no regulating of morality in the Constitution. It is a limited and defined object. It's a limited defined power of attorney. If they have the delegation of the authority to vaccinate or control diseases or health care or anything, health, life, or anything like that, then they can regulate it. And there's nothing in the Constitution dictating, in the federal Constitution, that they can be involved in even life. They actually have the power to declare war and send Americans into war. But we have the power to remove those people who do those types of things. But they do have the power, because we need our government to be able to protect us, to actually declare war so that we can go do that. We gotta keep in mind, folks, the government needed certain powers. And that's all that they were granted, what is in that Constitution. So you can't win this argument by speaking of a morality side of the Constitution. And it hurts me. It frustrates me that I have to constantly deal with people that don't get this. And they want to actually, you know, push the morality Constitution instead of the letter of the law. And I'm just going to tell you that when you look at the odds and the audience of people out there, the people will drink the letter of the law and how it was defined. They will accept that the federal government does not have the authority to create the Department of Transportation. We had two presidents veto it. Three presidents veto it. And the fact of the matter is that when we look at what's going on today, do they have the authority to do this? If you're arguing that it's immoral that they're doing this, then you have failed to point out that they have no authority. Quit putting your morals above the letter of the law. Our law is king, not your morals. My morals are like yours. I think these things are repugnant. But the letter of the law is king, not my morals or yours, not their morals. It is the law. And if we keep that perspective, then we can unite people on that, because there's lots of good people out there that do believe in church. At least they believe in good. We have more people in America that still believe in good. I mean, look, what this election proved that, and I'm telling you that the final counts that we're seeing are still inflated on the evil side, because they do conduct voter and election fraud. It's not like it just didn't happen. It's just that we overwhelmed them. They couldn't pull off enough of a steal. Now, I challenge anybody, please, I don't have the time to do these things anymore, but go look and count how many votes there were for each House of Representatives representative out there. Why? Because every seat was open in this election. Count how many votes were for the representatives, both, you know, all the people on the ballot. In other words, total votes for representatives. Go. You have to look at every race and you have to total them all up. And then once you get your state's total on how many people voted on the House of Representatives, then count how many people voted for the president. And now you're going to find that that'll be a larger number. In other words, there were a bunch of ballots that only had presidential votes cast. That right there is a suspect ballot. And I'm telling you, majority of all of those suspect ballots are fraud. And the system is designed to either create those numbers, or if there are people are out there going and getting people to fill out ballots. So it's either election fraud or voter fraud, but either way, it is fraud. Now you count up all of the states, and I remember doing this in 2012. And in 2012, we came up with over 5 million overages in the voter fraud, or I should say over for president. Over the House, 5+ million, almost 6 million. Now, keep in mind that we were told, because we're only counting the total votes, right? We were told that there were 11 to 20 some million evangelicals that did not vote for president at all. So we already know that there were plenty of those ballots out there, 11 to 20 million. So when we have the 5 million on top of that, there's a good likelihood that it could have been 20 to 25 million overvotes on president alone, just to get the million or the 5 million overages. Does that make sense? I think it does, because I believe that there was that many voter, there was that much voter fraud or election fraud in 2012. Folks, I'm telling you that they got somewhere between 17 to 25 million presidential fraudulent ballots cast or fraudulent votes in 2012. So 2016, they were, excuse the expression, they were backs to the wall. I mean, they were really pushing to try to get Clinton over the line. So there's no doubt in my mind that their ability to create those that many bad ballots are critical. This is critical. This is where when we actually look at what Trump did and we look at how many real Democrats there are, those votes are not accurate as far as activists. And when we look at the voter participation, this was a bad year for voter participation, at least how it looks to me. So as we kind of break this all down, what I'm going to do is I am going to create a little episode moving forward on criticisms of Trump and criticisms of our presidency, the executive, because bottom line, he hasn't even taken office, but I'm going to point out what the president should be doing. If Trump chooses to be a constitutional president, this is what he needs to do. So I'm going to take a little bit of time on either Friday and Monday. Well, if we do the content to take over Monday, then that's one thing. But I want to make sure on a weekly basis or when I do these shows, I want to give you at least a fraction of that show to dive into a very specific issue, like I talked about states today. Right? That the president and this nation, instead of getting engaged in war or getting engaged in, you know, international affairs like the Abraham Accord, this nation should actually be soliciting to foreign nations like Ukraine, Crimea, Hong Kong, basically petitioning to these states and letting states know that if you're interested, if you don't like being subject to the Chinese Communist Party, if you don't like being subject to the Russian communist, you know, oligarchy, or I should say the despotism of Russia, like the Ukraine and Crimea, then, or Nepal or Taiwan, all of these nations that are literally looking at their liberty being seized and taken, and it's happening in Hong Kong today. It's happened in Crimea already, and it's underway in Ukraine. All we have to do is say, if you have an open and honest election to become a state, it doesn't mean that I forget the guy's name that's in charge of the Ukraine because I'm bad with names, but it doesn't mean that he won't be the governor of that state. Just like I said about Rhode Island. Rhode Island is a state that is equal in stature and authority and sovereignty as China. Keep that in mind, that when nations come into this, they still maintain their sovereignty. They join the union with equal footing with the agreement that they will abide by the laws of the union and the reciprocity of those types of things. So they have to transition into our language. They have to transition into our laws and so forth. So anyway, I believe that we're at that point where I believe people are wanting liberty, and liberty is the solution, and the Constitution is the document that guarantees that. And I believe that this is why I'm going to have this this criticism episode, or this little portion of my show is going to literally criticize what the president should be doing. That way, what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to extract all of those and create one long montage, or at least a series of short bullets. Maybe it's better with a series of short bullets, so that you can actually go to that and actually reference that for other people, so that they can kind of dive into these very specific topics and go, oh my gosh, wow, America, the world would be a different place if America took that as their foreign policy. Wow. And I'm telling you, this is not me. This is not my brilliance. This is the Constitution. When you really look at the Constitution and what it offers the world, there's no doubt you can't look at this without reverence to him. The last thing, because I got less than three minutes, I also want to start plugging and asking you, please take the time this Thanksgiving to make it as the National Thanksgiving. Don't have a large meal. Don't do the gluttony. Let me ask you, if you want to have a large gluttonous meal as a family tradition, that's fine. Do it on Saturday. But on Thursday, set aside time to fast and serve him. In other words, try to do what George Washington called this nation to do for the National Thanksgiving. We recognize Thanksgiving as a nation. Why are we not recognizing the National Thanksgiving that George Washington called us for? Because in so doing, we are going to sanctify that Constitution. And one of the ways that we can serve him is by helping people. Get constitutions into your hands. And go out and knock on your neighbor's doors and say, I'm not sure if you actually have a constitution, but here you go. And then, you know, those people who receive the constitution, those people, you know, are basically your next stop next year to go and talk to them. Have you read this? And then what you can do is you can offer them not just the constitution, but you can offer them the color-coded constitution that we have. We have one already. The second one is almost ready. But what we'll have is we'll have two color-coded constitutions for you next year. I've just got to get back to the other one. But we'll have the two color-coded constitutions for you. And then that way, you'll be able to, you know, help educate them on how the Constitution is being violated and in the one Constitution, and the other Constitution will help them understand how this line, the very first line of the Constitution, establishes a hard responsibility, such as the legislation. Congress is the only body that has the power to legislate. It is vested in them and them alone. That's not necessarily a power, but that is the responsibility, that is the primary responsibility of Congress, is to legislate. The executive is to enforce, and the court is to basically oversee and ensure that arbitration over all things arising under this Constitution is done in accordance with the Constitution. When we start understanding what they're supposed to be doing, we can start realizing that they're doing things they have no authority to do. This is how we get ourselves educated, folks, and by sanctifying the Constitution on Thanksgiving. So I'm going to say this every day because this is that important of a message. We need to make this policy, we need to make the campaign, this PR campaign today. Today it starts. You need to get bought in. You need to get active, because without you, it can't happen. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, process. This is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.